Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pod Save the King!
Hello and welcome to Pod Save the King. I'm your host Zoe Forsey, and this is actually my last episode of sitting in the hosting chair of Pod Save the King. Anyone who has been listening to the show for a long time will be delighted to know that your proper host Anne Gripper will be back from next week. We've done a little bonus episode which will drop over the next couple of days, kind of explaining what's going on, but for this week's show, my last one, the Royals have been very kind in giving us lots of nice things to talk about, and I'm joined by our royal writer and royal expert Jennifer Newton. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, Tara. Thank you for joining me again 2 weeks in a row. It's been lovely to have you on the show. You are. But yes, let's jump straight in with the fun royal things we've had this week, and we're going to start off with Mother's Day photos, because we got some really lovely new photos. So I thought it'd be a nice happy way to start the show. So the King and Camilla, obviously this is the first Mother's Day we've had without the late Queen, so Charles is first without his mum. So the King and Camilla posted photos of themselves with their mums. So the picture of the King and the late Queen showed baby Charles sitting on his mum's lap, and Camilla also shared a photo of her with her late mum, Rosalind Chand, who died in 1994 when she was 72. And the message read, to all mothers everywhere, and to those who may be missing their mums today, we are thinking of you and wishing you a special Mother's Day, which I think was a really lovely message, and to acknowledge those that are missing mums, as Charles would have been on Sunday.
Yeah, it must have been a difficult day on Sunday, being the first one without the Queen on Mother's Day. So yeah, I thought it was quite a poignant message that they put out there, and I think it would have resonated with so many people as well. There will have been a lot of people out there who, you know, find Mother's Day difficult, and they acknowledge that, and, you know, acknowledged as well that it is a special day for other people as well. So I thought it was really, really nice, really poignant.
And it's really nice to see something of Camilla's mum as well, because obviously we know that lots of the charity work she does is kind of inspired by her late mum. But it was lovely to see that really nice photo of them together, kind of, you know, it was obviously like a, you know, one of these candid shots of them like next to each other and chatting. But it was really lovely to see her as well.
Yeah, I thought it was really lovely. And you can definitely see a family resemblance, yes, between Camilla and her late mum. So yeah, I thought it was a really nice picture, and quite nice the contrast in the two pictures that they shared. Charles as a baby with the Queen, and then Camilla as a, you know, an older woman with her mother. So yeah, I thought it was really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really lovely photos, and nice to see the market in that, okay, in that way. And the Wales family also put out two gorgeous photos. So we had a photo of Kate sitting with all of her children, with George, Charlotte and Louis. And then there was a second one, which was of Kate just kind of with Louis in her arms. And they were really lovely. And I think the first thing we said, because obviously they dropped and, you know, we were chatting about it, was, well, I recognise those clothes.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It was the same shoot as the Christmas card photo, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they were wearing the exact same clothes from their Christmas card from last year. So yeah, they must have took quite a few shots on that day and thought, we've got to save these ones for Mother's Day. And I was really, really excited when I saw this picture, because we have seen so many pictures of Kate and the kids over the years, but I think this might be one of the only pictures where it's just her and the three children. I can't think of any others.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's so true.
There's quite a few of William out there that have been posted for Father's Day. But yeah, we now have a picture of
all of
just
them.
Kate with her three kids looking really happy. And yeah,
it was such a lovely photo. And like, it was one of those ones where you can just imagine the photographer setting that up, because the logistics, you know, everyone get in a tree, everyone don't fall out of the tree, yeah, everyone smile, everyone look at the camera. And also they're wearing a lot of white, aren't they? Like Kate's wearing a beautiful
Kate's wearing a white top.
Blouse. Yeah. It just feels like one of those, how they got that picture, I think is quite remarkable, of, you know, especially where we, you know, we love Louis, but, you know, probably not the type that would sit there still for 20 minutes and to make sure the photo's right.
Yeah, I would like to see a picture afterwards with, yeah, you. Maybe like handprints on the clothes and hair a little bit more disheveled. Maybe that would be a funner picture, but yeah.
Well, that's what they did. Well, it was the pandemic photos, wasn't it? Was it Louis' second birthday where they did reality versus Instagram, and
yeah,
they had him looking cute, and then the second photo was him was absolutely in covered in the paint.
Smeared in paint, yeah.
Which, as I said, now we know him a bit better, makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, definitely.
But yes, that was really lovely photos of the family. And the message with those just read simply, "Happy Mother's Day from our family to yours with a red love heart." And again, I really loved the second photo, which is her kind of whole, it was a real playful picture, wasn't it? You know, if you've not seen them, make sure you go and have a look, because it's not just her holding him, you know, in like a nice pose. She's kind of like, obviously, it looks like she's kind of, I don't know, I imagine that she was like spinning with him or something. It feels like that kind of shot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a real natural shot. It's not posed at all. It's kind of just a really candid in the moment shot. And it's, yeah, really lovely.
Princess Eugenie posted a lovely photo of her with August. And I know it's this awful thing that adults do. Of every time you see a child, you go, oh, look how much they've grown. But he does, he's like really growing up fast, which is really sweet and really lovely to see. That's that beautiful photo of them in the field. But we also had some Middleton family photos, which was a lovely picture from James Middleton. Sent a photo of his mum, obviously, and Kate, and Pippa's mum, Carol. Shared with you, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, especially this one. But you took a quick look at this photo and went, I think I see someone in the background of that.
Yeah, well, if you look closely, you might see Kate in the background. So it looks like this picture is from James's wedding last year. He got married in the south of France last year, and we know that Kate, William, and the three kids went. And if you look to kind of the left, as you look at the picture of Carol's head,
just over her shoulder, isn't it?
Kind of over her shoulder, yeah. There's a lady who looks suspiciously like Kate with the long, lovely dark hair in the background. So maybe that was during the evening party, kind of a candid shot of Kate dancing. It really looks like a great photo and like a great wedding to have been at. So yeah, kind of good to have missed out on my invitation to that one, but yeah.
And obviously the boat picture fits, you know, we knew it was said it was very chilled out, laid back, not a formal wedding. And obviously we knew that he wore the white suit because we saw that from the wedding photos, but the dresses they're both in, like Carol's in more of a, you know, kind of a floral, more like a, you know, kind of the beautiful like long maxi dresses you get quite a lot of now. So it makes sense and fits to that occasion, and fairy lights in the background. And yeah, you can see just over James's right shoulder, there's someone in the background having a proper dance. So yeah, as you said, it does look like it was a great do. But really nice to get that insight into another Middleton wedding, because obviously both Pippa and Kate's wedding, okay, Kate's slightly, you know,
more high profile. Yeah,
slightly more profile. But both of those were media events. Obviously Pippa had George and Charlotte as bridesmaid and page boy, and even though we think James possibly did as well, we didn't see the pictures. So, you know, we've seen a lot from that wedding, so it's really lovely to see the third Middleton child kind of celebrating and being happy. So that was really lovely, and a really nice kind of start to the week over the weekend, wasn't
definitely.
It?
Definitely, yeah.
But now on to far more serious news. Prince William has been in Poland for a couple of days. So he travelled really close, actually, to the Ukraine border, where he met British troops to learn about what they're doing to keep people safe at this extremely difficult time. Now, it was kind of the word surprise and secret was used, but this was obviously kind of, I'm assuming, very much a security, you know, they couldn't broadcast that he was going into this extremely dangerous area, but I think the fact he did was really important.
Yeah, so like you said before, he went really close to the Ukraine border. Obviously the war is still raging on in Ukraine, and so it was not until William actually landed in the country and had been to visit these troops that we actually, you know, knew that he'd been to see them. And he delivered quite a poignant message. He said, I just wanted to come here in person to say thank you for all that you're doing, keeping everyone safe out here and keeping an eye on what's going on. So just a big thank you for what you do on a daily basis. And he said everyone back home is thoroughly supporting what the troops are doing there, keeping everybody safe. So yeah, it was a really important visit for him, I'm sure.
He also went over to Warsaw and went to an accommodation centre, which is where Ukrainian refugees have been staying, and met with them and hearing their stories as well. And it was just, it was really, you know, and I know that he was there a couple of days in the end, but it was such an important trip to, as you said, they've done lots, but it's always been based in the UK. They obviously went to the, you know, they spoke to people in that community. They were at the, you know, kind of speaking to refugees, but to actually go out and to still not see, you know, like obviously there's still a thing, but to get closer to where they're actually feeling it rather than you know, just hearing the stories from, I thought was really, you know, a really important outing.
Yeah, definitely. And there were some really nice pictures, actually, of William at this accommodation centre, especially with some of the children. I mean, you can't even begin to imagine what children that age have had to go through. And, you know, he was smiling with them, laughing, playing table tennis. I don't know, table tennis seems to be quite a popular thing to do, isn't it, on these engagements? But yeah, I mean, it must have been great for the, you know, to boost their spirits as well. So yeah, I think it was really important for him and for them as well.
And the trip continued this morning, kind of just the pictures were just actually dropping as we came in to record this podcast. So he laid a wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier this morning, and then also went and met more refugees at a food hall. And he's meeting the Polish president. So he's kind of packed a lot in, and obviously laying that wreath and laying the wreath that is the Prince of Wales.
Yeah, it had the Prince of Wales flower, feathers.
Feathers on, yep. Which, because we obviously saw him lie that for the first time at Remembrance Sunday in November, but that was when he was kind of, had only been in the new role for, you know, gosh, what, a couple of months?
Two months.
So to see him kind of doing that, for me, it felt like a visit that really, it was the first kind of, you know, one of the first big things he's done since taking on this role and saying, no, I don't just want to be, I want to be part of it. I want to be there. I want to be, you know, extending my work to these dangerous areas. And I thought it was a really important trip.
Yeah, definitely. And I kind of think it shows, you know, how much of an interest he has in global issues as well. And the statesmanlike role that you'll have to carry out as Prince of Wales and then eventually one day as King as well.
Definitely. And so we had another really important outing this week for Kate. So it's the latest kind of outing for her Shaping Us project. So this time she's targeting businesses. So she set up a business task force for the early childhood. She took over the boardroom of one of NatWest, which is one of our kind of biggest banks over here in the UK, took over their headquarters. She was joined by the top bosses of loads of huge organisations, IKEA, Lego, Aviva, Co-op and Iceland. And she kind of gave a really powerful speech, didn't she? And she kind of sat down and she said, there are two things that we need to do, which is quite good to, you know, it was actually giving, not just we need to do this. I think Russell and I have spoken this before with this project. It's not just we all need to focus more on it. It's actually, these are some action points to go and do. So the first one is to prioritise creating working spaces that provide the support and training your workforce needs to cultivate and maintain its own social and emotional well-being. So that's saying that, you know, if anyone's got, you know, if any employee should be able to themselves still grow when working. So I thought that was a really interesting point. And it also says, you know, she made the point of this will benefit them both personally and professionally.
Yeah.
Which I think is also important because, you know, and that's more appeal to businesses. And then the second one is a more concentrated effort in supporting the social and emotional development of our youngest children. Because as with most human development, the key time to build these social and emotional skills is in the first 5 years. So that's kind of more repeating what she had said before, but still, you know, still extremely important. But it was really nice to see her in this. We've seen lots of her in the charity, you know, in the charity sector, in, you know, kind of royal sector, even with politicians. But to see her in full business mode was really interesting, actually.
Yeah, I kind of got apprentice vibes from it. You know how they were sitting around in a boardroom. She got up and gave that speech, the speech that you've just referenced there. So, I think it kind of shows the ambition as well that she's got with this Shaping Us project. I guess it would be quite easy to, you know, just go to nurseries and speak with people that would be looking after children who are young, but to, you know, take it to these businesses. And it's not just, these are quite big businesses in the UK and global as well, you know, the likes of IKEA and Lego. So yeah, I think it shows the ambition of this project that she's got. And I'm guessing there's going to be loads more to come from it.
That's a really good point, actually, because, you know, she's said that this is going to be her life's work. This is her big project. This is the thing that she plans to use her platform as the Princess of Wales and one day our Queen to focus on. And yeah, by basically expanding it across loads of different sectors, I think it will have a really big impact. And I think it's a really good idea. But as well as doing all the important stuff, she did get to go and look at some of the nice views as well. Do you see those pictures of her standing?
I did, yeah.
The office they were in is on the He's got a 9th floor roof terrace.
Yeah, overlooking the city of London.
So they went, she was taken up there by one of the women she met, and they were looking at all the views, which was lovely as well. And she looked great. More, you know, we're getting quite used to seeing her in like business attire.
So
she had some kind of black, what are they called? Oh God, I need Sarah now. Are they like cigarette trousers?
Yeah, I would call them cigarette trousers
with like a white blazer. So again, what we've discussed before of, she hasn't worn like a bright full suit for this. It's very much a, I don't want to talk about my clothes. We're going to talk about the important things, and I'm just going to wear a normal business outfit. But she still looked amazing.
Yeah, she looked amazing. And she looked amazing. But at the same time, I thought it was very fitting with the engagement that she did. And if she were to, you know, if you were to go into the city of London right now and see some of the women who work in those sort of environments, that outfit wouldn't be out of place, would it?
You would see
people walking down the street dressed like that.
Oh, 100. If she wasn't Kate Middleton,
yeah,
and she was walking around, she would look like everyone else, and no one would, you know,
yeah,
give her a second look. So, no, another really great engagement, and nice to see the Shaping Us project kind of, you know, continuing to grow.
Yeah.
But probably one of the biggest events we had this week, which we've kind of left to a bit later, because obviously it feels like ages ago now.
Yeah, it feels like a long time.
It feels like a long time ago, but the St. Patrick's Day celebration. So this happened on Friday just gone, so just after we recorded last time, it dropped the day after that. So we mentioned it briefly, but Kate and William headed out to Aldershot with the Irish Guards for the traditional parade. It's always a really fun event because Kate presents sprigs of shamrock to the officers and the guardsmen. They also get to meet the regional mascot, who's Seamus, who is the huge Irish wolfhound.
Yeah, he's big.
Which is a fun event. But this was kind of a more, that, you know, they normally do this, but this was such a big deal this year because this is obviously the first time Kate's done it since she's taken her new job on. But not only, which I didn't think about because we were talking about, it's like Kate's the first time doing it, but it was also William saying, because William used to have that role.
Yeah.
So him saying goodbye, and it was like a little handover, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was almost like a handover ceremony. They both gave speeches at the event where William kind of spoke of his pride of having the role and kind of, how would you say, reassured them, not that they would have need any reassurance, that they were going to be in a safe pair of hands with Kate taking on the role in the future. So
he said I'm incredibly sad to be giving this speech, as it really does mean my time as your colonel has come to an end. It has been one of the great honours of my life to hold that title. I'm proud of everything it stands for, just as I'm immensely proud of every single one of you. And he spoke, you know, he spoke really openly about his, you know, when he was doing the visits to kind of what he'd do, they were his top of the list of, he said, that's the one I want to do. And he also said that it was actually only for operational reasons that prevented him from serving his frontline years with the mix, which I thought was really interesting because you don't think about, you know, the decisions that must be made about when royals go out and do these, like where they are sent to, must be so hard. And also, you know, we know more from what, you know, maybe what we've read in Prince Harry's memoirs, Spare, like, you know, how heartbroken and upset they are if that's what they want to do, but they're told they can't do it. So I thought that was really interesting. And he spoke about kind of the training exercises that he's seen, Kenya in 2018, which I thought was really nice. And then, as you said, he went on to really praise Kate. I don't know if you want to go through kind of what he said about his lovely wife.
Yeah, it was quite emotional and moving, really. He said, I may be stepping aside, but in Colonel Catherine, you have a committed, focused, and already incredibly loyal 11th Colonel. As you serve together over the years ahead, know that I will continue to watch you with huge pride in having been one of you. So yeah, really, it was quite, I wouldn't have thought the a military kind of parade would have been the place where he would get so personal about his wife. But yeah, it was really, really nice.
I can't think of many occasions where he's spoken like this. And I think maybe this does also show that this is on the court. Obviously, he cares about all of his causes, but this is something that's so personal to him. And then Kate went on to speak, and she again discussed kind of, you know, what a role it was. What I thought was really nice is that she said that it's not a responsibility she'll take lightly. She went out to talk, obviously she went out with the she went out and did a training exercise a few weeks ago. She did that medic thing where she was helping carry a mock injured soldier. And she said that she was extremely impressed by their insistence that nothing is as bad as it seems. I thought that was really interesting, where she was more kind of talking about the mental attitude towards stuff of, you know, you can power through that, which again fits with her other work she's done,
definitely.
And obviously her approach to things. Said, I look forward to spending more time with you and your families, seeing your commitment to duty and service in what you do. And then she also went on to say some really lovely things about William as well.
Yeah, she did. It was a love in this event, wasn't it?
Do you reckon that was planned, or did you just reckon she went, oh God, he's to say goodbye nice about me, I need to...
I'd like to think it probably was planned, but I'd like to think it was off the cuff. But she said about William, before I close, however, I want to thank her Colonel William, he has always talked about his fierce pride for this regiment, and I know he will continue to support us in all the work we do. So yeah, really nice words.
Really lovely. Now, we've got to talk about the close of this as well, and I've got to admit that I missed a big royal moment that luckily some of the Kate bloggers, the fashion experts who run these blogs, pointed out something that we missed, because as soon as she stepped out, obviously she normally wears the kind of real like emerald green for Paddy's Day, doesn't she? She's always looks that. And she stepped out, she was wearing more of a teal colour.
A teal or a turquoise, yeah.
And we were both like, I mean, obviously she looks amazing, but we're like, she's gone for a different shade of green.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until kind of later on in the afternoon that one of the eagle-eyed fashion watchers said that it was actually, it's the colour, that it's their colour, exact tone, isn't it?
Right? So it's the exact tone of this plume that the Irish Guards wear in their bearskin hats. And I'd actually, when I first saw it, I was, like you said before, I would have bet my house that she would have worn an emerald, more traditional kind of green colour. But when I saw this, I was like, But yeah, when it's been pointed out, the teal of the colour is the same as the plume that they wear in their hats. So yeah, it all makes sense.
And it's not just similar, it's exactly
it's
the
exactly
same. There was a
the
picture
same.
Of one of the pictures. You know, once you've spotted it, you can't not see it.
Yeah.
But you could, I was like, that is clever. I reckon she must have taken that.
And yeah, definitely. And I'd actually go as far as to say I'm going to put it out there. That's maybe my favourite Kate outfit this year so far.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not just because she looked gorgeous, because she looks gorgeous in whatever she wears, but just the attention to detail that was paid to this outfit. And I didn't realise either until, again, these fashion bloggers pointed me to it, and they do some absolutely sterling work on their social media. But the coat that she was wearing as well, if you look, the collar, exactly the same as the collar of the tunic of the Irish Guards, and the buttons as well. This is how detailed it's got. You had her coat had four buttons, then a space, and then four buttons exactly representing the Irish Guards. Yeah, so that's why I think one of the best outfits so far this year, just
it's
because of
so
that incredible attention to detail. And I don't know why, it just excites me that someone has taken that amount of time and effort. And I think I appreciate it, so surely the Irish Guards would have appreciated it as well.
And I bet that's one of those things of they would have sat there and gone, hang on a minute, because you know that if you put it on every single day, whereas normal people may not notice it, but they go, that's, I see what she's done there. And I think that would have meant a lot. And as you said, it just shows, we always know that Kate shows, you know, says so much through her clothes. And I think this was just a great example of when she did it to extreme lengths. And I think, but also it still worked as a beautiful outfit.
Yeah.
Even if you take the detail, you know, she could rewear that.
Yeah, definitely.
To another event next year.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't look out of place. Because I know that some of the ones she's worn for Remembrance Sunday, she's gone very military. You know, it's, you know, very strong military design.
Yeah.
But it just had the little touches. I thought it was a great idea, and yeah, really liked it.
Yeah.
It's a great look from Kate, and just a really lovely event all around. And then they went for a Guinness, although William did say that he always struggles to finish it, didn't he? He said, I've got another one of pretending I can finish it.
Yeah, I noticed as well that when they had a Guinness, William had a pint, Kate had a half as well.
And she's had a pint when they've done events in Ireland before, she's had a pint, but she just went for the half one this time.
I don't blame her. I'm the same.
Oh, love a Guinness. Had several on St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, it's all good. Another really fun event this week, though, is Princess Anne went to the set of Coronation Street. Coronation Street, or Corrie, as it's called over here, is one of our kind of biggest soaps. It's on ITV. So she went to the ITV studios and actually to learn more about the soap's upcoming acid attack storyline. So she didn't just go for they go to the soaps quite often, didn't they? But while she went for a tour and saw all the famous sites, she was also hearing about this really important storyline they're covering. So they work. There's some of the actors that work on the show. They spoke to Charlotte Jordan, who's the actress that plays Daisy, who's the main character that's going to take it on. The TV show's worked really closely with the Katie Piper Foundation and the Acid Survivors Trust International, which Anne is patron of, which is why that was kind of the link to it. But it's really nice seeing, you know, the soaps are covering these really important issues and these big storylines, and it's nice to see the royals kind of recognising that they're doing it properly and doing it well rather than just, you know, making it good for telly.
Yeah, I thought it was quite a clever engagement, the way that all of these elements linked up. You've got Anne as the patron of this Acid Survivors Trust International charity, and then Coronation Street doing this acid attack storyline, and kind of all of the elements linked up together quite well. And I don't know why, but it's always really bizarre when you see people like Princess Anne or Charles in the past going to visit soaps, and you see them in, you know, the pub, obviously for Coronation Street, the Rovers Return. It's, I don't know why, I just find it really, really bizarre to see.
The photos of the Queen in the Queen Vic, which is the EastEnders pub, they're just so funny. And she's just standing there with, you know, like Danny Dyer, and they're just having it. It's very strange, but it's absolutely brilliant. No, it's good fun. And are you ready for an incredible link here that I'm quite proud of?
Go on then.
Speaking of coronations.
Yeah.
Hey, got some more details of the coronation.
Yeah.
Have dropped this week. No, it's still unofficial. We still haven't had anything put out. But the Times had a really strong report over the weekend, kind of talking about what George, Charlotte and Louis might be doing on the day. And their sources tell them that they're going to be part of the procession, which will go from Westminster Abbey on May 6th. So this is going to be when they're all kind of in the carriages, isn't it?
Yeah, I think from what I can gather, this will be after the coronation ceremony is over, there'll be a procession kind of out of the Abbey and then back to Buckingham Palace in the carriages. So according to the Times report, George, Charlotte and Louis are expected to join their parents in a carriage, and that'll be behind the Golden State coach that'll be taking Charles and Camilla back to Buckingham Palace after the coronation. So yeah, really nice to see that George, Charlotte and Louis are going to get starring roles in the coronation.
Very exciting. So obviously they did their first carriage ride for the Jubilee, but that's a short route, isn't it? Because it's not a full route, and it's very much through the kind of private area, so you get the photos of it, but it's not, you know, people lining the street and everyone going out. But this will be a big,
This will be a longer route, obviously, from Buckingham Palace. I think it's going to go up the Mall to Horse Guards, which is what they did on Troopin', but carry on along Whitehall to Westminster Abbey.
Yes.
Just getting my London geography correct here.
No, that's really exciting. So obviously when this happens, George will be 9, Charlotte will turn 8 just 4 days before the coronation, and Louis will be 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a big day, but, you know, George is going to be, you know, like,
George is in double digits later this year,
which is absolutely mad. So that'd be really lovely to have them in it. It's understood that the Prince and Princess of Wales are still kind of figuring out exactly what George, Charlotte and Louis might do within the ceremony itself.
Yeah.
Of course, there was lots of discussion about they wanted George to do something, but they didn't want to put too much pressure on him. And we know that normally with the Royal Kids, they don't announce what they're going to do until quite close to the time, because as with any kids, you know, you've got to see what mood they're in the morning, like, especially not for George and Charlotte where they are older, but for Louis, you know, kind of 4 or 5 year old, you've got no idea if they're going to get up and be in a behaving mood or if they're just going to be tired, stroppy, you know, annoyed, just not, you know, not willing to sit there still and wave for 20 minutes, which is a long time to do. So that's really exciting. It'd be lovely. You know, we knew we were going to see quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
Or we're hoping. So it's really nice to kind of get more reports that is maybe the way it's going.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed, yeah. We definitely want to see Louis after what happened at the Jubilee. Imagine if we didn't see him. So, yeah.
They have to. Because even though he was a thing, he was the highlight of it for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. So
it was, you know, while he didn't quite sit there as he probably should have done, that was the talking point they took away. And all that does is, it makes people like the, you know,
yeah, it humanizes,
it's relatable,
them more,
it's humanizing, which, you know, is definitely not a bad thing in my opinion. Also this week, we've had the first photos from the new series of The Crown, which is being filmed. But this is of Kate and William at university. Yeah. So obviously we've seen, you know, we saw William and Harry starting, you know, kind of previous ones, but they were very young. But this is going to be at St Andrews in Scotland. It was quite funny because there were loads of students on TikTok, weren't they? Just, like, it's just, oh, look, there's, you know, Kate and William apparently walking around. So yeah, they filmed at the university, and then they were also over in, you know, kind of in the seaside town around down in Fife, which was really lovely. And Kate's outfit was peak 2000s clothing, I think. She's got the kind of bootcut jeans. She's got a pleated leather belt with those heel, the suede boots.
Yeah.
The suede boots, I'm pretty sure she still wears. They've copied those.
The ones with the tassels kind
the
of
one with
off
the tassels.
Yeah, yeah, she, yeah. Yeah, I've seen... I think Princess Charlotte even has like a little pair now. I'm sure I've seen a picture of her wearing them. So
I mean, they're a great investment. She was wearing them 20 years ago. You know, get them as soon as Charlotte's feet stop growing. That's when you need to buy them. But yeah, so the actress playing Kate, who is Meg Bellamy, she was kind of carrying a First Steps to Academic Writing textbook.
We all had those.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously we know that Kate and William graduated in 2005. They met when they were at uni, they were good friends together, then they lived together in one of their shared houses. And they split in 2007, but they got back together before William popped the question in 2010. So this time at university was when they really, you know, the agreement the royal family had with the press is that they were allowed to study away from, you know, in private. So this is where William got to be, I'm not going to say normal student because he was far from a normal student, but, you know, they got to just live
as normal as possible.
Eat takeaway on the sofa on a Saturday night with all their mates. And, you know, I don't know. They probably weren't drinking the cheap lager that we were drinking at uni but a slightly fancier version of what normal students do.
Yeah.
But this series of The Crown is going to be really interesting, isn't it? Because obviously this is where it's going. Everyone keeps saying it's getting too recent now, but this is very recent. That, you know, this is stuff that everyone pretty much will remember now.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember this. It's stuff that I'd say the vast majority of adults in this country, or, you know, definitely even the world, can remember William going to university and Kate first coming on the scene. So yeah, I think it'll be definitely an interesting watch this time.
Yeah. So this will focus on the late 1990s to the early 2000s, and it will include the Princess Diana's death, of course.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talk about how that will be covered because, of course, it's an extremely sensitive subject. It's still something that so many people are very upset by. So it'll be really interesting to see how they tackle that. They've said that they're not going to show the crash, but I think there's pictures of the car.
I've definitely seen pictures of them kind of recreating
like
the
wreckage. Yeah. So it's just, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how they do this, to be honest. And I don't know how I feel about it. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, I think I'll kind of reserve judgment until I see it. But yeah, it'll
be an interesting one. But yeah, I'm not sure actually when it's due to be on our tellies, but hopefully it wouldn't be too long. They do seem to come out quite quickly, don't they?
Yeah, this is meant to be the last series as well, which I can't see. If the interest's still there, I can see them doing
do
more.
Do you think they'll just carry on with
it? Yeah.
It's going to be like what happened last week. Can you imagine? Yeah, they're like... The Oprah and Spare edition.
Well, yeah. Maybe in 20 years' time. Yeah, that's what we'll be talking about.
Yeah, probably. But what have we got coming up next week? We've got an exciting state visit, haven't we?
Yeah, so starting on Sunday, actually, we've got Charles's first overseas state visit as king. So he will be in France, him and Camilla, for a few days. They'll be in Paris and Bordeaux. And then in the mid next week, they'll be going to Germany to visit Berlin and Hamburg. And that's to celebrate the British ties with, obviously, France and Germany, which are two of our closest neighbouring countries. So I think it's going to be a really good visit. There's going to be a number of firsts on this visit as well. So Charles is going to be the first British monarch to address the French Senate, which I think is their upper house of parliament, and the Bundestag, Germany's federal parliament. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really, really exciting. Some of the itinerary for it as well. They're going to be at the Arc de Triomphe doing a remembrance ceremony there, which obviously that everyone knows where that is in Paris. Visiting a vineyard in Bordeaux, and I think we know that. Ooh, Camilla likes her wine, doesn't she? She's everyone likes her wine.
I mean, if Charles does, he powers his car off wine.
Well, yeah, maybe maybe he'll be able to take some fuel back with him. And then in Germany, they're going to get a ceremonial welcome in Berlin at the Brandenburg Gate, which I think will look amazing.
Oh, that'd be and such good pictures.
Yeah, great pictures from that. And they'll have a banquet at, I'm going to butcher this, but remember my GCSE German at Schloss Bellevue. So yeah, I think it's going to be really good. We're going to get some really great pictures, and yeah, so that's going to be great. But there have been reports today that the palace are keeping a close eye on the unrest that's been unfolding across France. There's been riots and protests there against the president, Emmanuel Macron, after he forced through some pension reforms in the country. So some of the protesters say there have said they might want to disrupt the visit. And there have been reports that a state banquet, the Palace of Versailles, which was due to be happening in France, may have to be moved to elsewhere, which, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have been a good look if, you know, riots and
of course
unrest is going on around, and while you've got, you know, king and queen and the president sitting in this, you know, having a state banquet.
And a state banquet isn't just like a normal dinner. That's very much, you know, talking about money and people struggling, often cost of visit when someone wearing a big tiara is walking through.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, the Palace of Versailles is a beautiful building, so it would be a shame that that can't go ahead. But yeah, it hasn't, there has been no confirmation on what will happen. So yeah, I think it'll just be a case of waiting to see. Sources have been saying that the situation that it's been monitoring, there might be last minute changes. But yeah, I think even if there are, I'm sure it'll still be a great visit.
It will, definitely. There's so much. And as you said, it'll be really nice to see Charles and Camilla do something kind of on this scale before the coronation. Because obviously, you know, as Russell said several times, like, you know, from what he's seeing, it's very much just kind of, you know, settling in and, you know, getting the kind of lay of the land and figure it out. But I'm really glad they're having a chance to do their first, you know, their first kind of big visit before the big day in May.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's really exciting. Lots to look forward to next week. But yeah, I think that's all we've got next week, isn't it? Well, that we can talk about.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the rest of it comes with big embargoes that Russell will shout at us if we talk about before we're allowed. Yeah. But thank you so much for joining me, Jen. Thank you to all our listeners as always. And just to say a more general thank you for putting up with me for the last kind of, you know, year or so when I've been keeping the seat warm for Anne Gripper. I've really loved doing the podcast and I really appreciate all your support. And it's been great having a chance to geek out on royal things once a week with no one kind of, you know, as they do in the office, just, you know, thinking it's work related, so it's been great. But as always, we're on Twitter and social at PodSave. And until next time.
PodSave the King!